Be around church family. Be around your own personal family. And it's a great time, but it's a little bit difficult for people who don't have family to gather with. By the way, if you're here and you don't have family to gather with, that's one of the beauties of having church family. And being able to get together with other like-minded people and laugh and enjoy life together, and it's a wonderful thing. The story about a mom and dad, and the dad made a phone call to his daughter one day, and he told his daughter, "Honey, mom and I, we're getting divorced, and we've just had enough of seeing each other. We just, it's not working for us anymore, and I just wanted to call and let you know that we're going to begin pursuing the road of divorce." And of course, she was just flabbergasted by the whole thing and shocked by the whole thing. And so when she hung up the phone with her dad, she immediately got on the phone with her brother, and she told her brother what her dad had told her, that they were getting divorced. And boy, he was shocked by it and appalled by it as well. So he calls his dad and he said, "Dad, you can't do this to us. You can't do this to mom. You can't do this to yourself. I'm just shocked that you would even present the idea of getting divorced. Now, Dad, I don't want you to do anything until my sister and I get there. We've already bought our plane tickets, and we'll be there tomorrow." Dad hung up the phone, looked at his wife. He said, "Well, it worked. Our kids are coming for Thanksgiving, and they paid for their own plane tickets." Now, don't any of you get any bright ideas, okay? Whether you get together with your family or not this Thanksgiving, we all have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? And also thankful for church family. Daniel, a man who, for the majority of his life, was never able to celebrate such times with his family. Be contended that he never did get to. I doubt they had Thanksgiving in that time period of history. None of the festivals, the Jewish festivals, none of the times when families would get together, he didn't have any of that his whole life. Now, he was a man who was captured away, stolen away from his homeland as a child. And he very likely witnessed the death of his mom and dad in the process of that taking place, if you can imagine such a horrendous thing for a child. Then, insult to injury, his manhood was taken away, so he could never have a family of his own. And all of these things happened to Daniel, and yet one of the things that we're going to see demonstrated from the life of Daniel today is that Daniel was a man who was committed to praise. In fact, he made the matter of praising God a continual part of his life. And this is what I want you to see in Daniel chapter number 6. If you look there with me in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10, here's what the Bible says in Daniel 6 and verse 10. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, "Now Daniel knew that the writing was signed." Of course, this is the account of Scripture where it's Daniel in the lion's den. That's that writing that's being talked about there. "When he knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed." And what did he do? "Gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Daniel had a continual habit of praise. I'm going to begin this morning by asking you a couple simple questions. Praising God, habit in your life? Is it a continual pattern in your life to praise the Lord? I want to tell you, no matter how difficult your life has been this year, you still have ample reasons, continual reasons, to give God praise. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've been through. God's good to all of us. Some years it may be a little bit, it may seem a little bit more difficult than others. The facts remain the same. All of us have ample reasons to praise the Lord. And as we study the life of Daniel, I want us to turn back to chapter number 2. And as we look at a prayer from Daniel in chapter 2, a prayer of praise from Daniel in chapter number 2, there are 5 truths that will help you develop a pattern of praise in your life like Daniel. Because Daniel, from the time he was very young, made the matter of prayer a habit in his life, and the matter therefore praise a habit in his life. And I wonder if you have that same habit in your life, because I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you don't, or maybe there was a time when praising the Lord was a matter of habit in your life, but you've gotten away from it. And I dare say that this week would be a great week for you to get back on track with making praise to the Lord a habit of your life. As we look at these 5 truths, and before we dive into this passage of Scripture, I want us to bow our heads together and ask for God to speak to our hearts. And will you pray in your own spirit and ask for God to, to teach you from His Word today as I preach. And let's pray together. Father, we come before You and thank You for this time that we're able to open Your Word. And I pray, God, that You would bless this time in Your Word. And God, You made it very clear last night that this was the passage of Scripture that You wanted preached today. And Lord, I don't feel adequate to communicate the richness of the truth that is here. And yet, Lord, it's a simple truth. I pray that we get a hold of it. And as we hit this matter of praise from all different kinds of angles, as we look at the example of Daniel's life, I pray that it would expose some areas for each one of us where we need to grow in this matter. And I pray that each one of us would make this matter of praise a pattern in our life, a habit in our life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Five truths I want you to notice today that will help you with developing a pattern of praise in your life. Number one, if you're taking notes, you can note this down. Let's notice the setting for praise. The setting for praise. Now, just to remind us of what's taking place in chapter 2, for those of you who haven't been with us throughout this study, let's just think about what's taking place. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and a powerful king at that. Nebuchadnezzar had a bad dream one night. It was a bad dream, and he knew it was bad, but when he woke up, he couldn't remember what he had dreamed. Has it ever happened to you before? You have a bad dream, and you wake up and can't remember anything about it. Well, it happened to Nebuchadnezzar, but he knew the dream was important, and he knew that there was something divine about the dream, something that he was supposed to remember, but he couldn't remember it. And so he called for all of the wise men and counselors throughout the entire empire of Babylon, and he said, "Interpret the dream, and tell me what I dreamed, and tell me what it meant, or I'll kill you." Those are pretty high stakes. Nobody could do it. And so the army of the Babylonian army, they began to march around to all the wise men throughout the kingdom and carry them off for execution. And old Daniel was a counselor, one of the magi, in the kingdom of Babylon. And Daniel had no idea what was taking place until the executioner showed up at his door and said, "Hey, I'm here to kill you." So here's this taking place. And boy, in the midst of those foreboding circumstances, that's what Daniel did. Let's look at verse number 14 of chapter number 2. The Bible says, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hasty from the king?' Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation." Now, I find it interesting here what's taking place. Daniel didn't panic. Instead, Daniel chose to take time to pray. He didn't panic. He chose to pray. And let me just pause here to say, this is how God wants believers to respond to every difficulty that we may face in life. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6 that we are to be careful or worried about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and with supplication and thanksgiving, we're to make our requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will then keep our hearts and minds through our faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. In other words, we're to turn every care into a prayer in our life. And that's what Daniel did here. He decided that he was going to pray instead of panic in the midst of what was no doubt a very intimidating circumstance. And so he chose to pray. He had developed a habit of prayer. We read earlier in chapter 6 that three times a day, specifically, he took time to pray and give thanks to God. And so Daniel, prayer wasn't an unfamiliar thing to him. He had a habit of coming before God in prayer. And this becomes even more evident in what we read next. Look at verse number 17 with me. Verse number 17, the Bible says, "Then Daniel went," where? "To his house." Now, there was no temple to go through. There was none of those things available to him. But the Bible says Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And I think that's interesting. The Bible, when Daniel needed to pray, the Bible doesn't say that he had to search for a place to go. No, he already had a place where he prayed. He already had a place where he had a habit of opening his windows and taking time alone to talk to God every day. And I'll be honest with you. I read that. When I first read that weeks and weeks ago, God convicted my heart. So why did he convict your heart? Well, I'll tell you why he convicted my heart. Convicted my heart because Daniel, he didn't need to find a place to seek God. He already had a place where he sought God. wonder how often it has been the opposite in my life. I get a circumstance that's really heavy on my heart, and I think I need to find some place to run to. He already had a place to run to. A place in his own home. He had a habit of seeking the Lord on a daily basis. Have a place like that in your life? The Bible says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God encourages us, each one, to have a secret place, a private place, a personal place where we can seek the Lord in prayer. Jesus alluded to this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. This is in your notes. He said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I wonder if you have a secret place, a habitual place that you go to, you resort to God in prayer. For so many of us, the sad reality is that prayer is a last resort instead of a first response. When it comes to needing to take time to pray, we're unfamiliar with how to go about doing it, when it should be something that's as natural as talking to our spouse. And it should be something that is just incredibly habitual for us to do, to be able to come to the Lord in prayer. And so Daniel, he had a setting for praise. He had a place designated where he spent time with God in prayer. And let me tell you something. Listen to me on this. Because of Daniel's habit of prayer that he had developed, he also had a habit of praise as a consequence of that. His habit of prayer developed a habit of praise in his life. And let me tell you something. You can't hardly spend time with God. If you just think about it with me, you can't hardly spend time with God without having your heart filled with praise. And you really bow your head before the Creator of the universe, the God of your salvation? How can you bow before that God and not eventually be filled with the reality that you are talking to the King of Kings, that you are talking to the Lord of Lords, you are talking to the one who created everything that is? And I'll tell you, you spend time with God, very soon what will follow is that your heart will be filled with praise. And that's why I said Daniel's habit of prayer led to a habit of praise in his life. Psalm 95 and verse number 2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. You can't hardly come into the presence of God by prayer without being thankful. Without being thankful that such a God would even listen to what you have to say. And so you ought to have a habit of prayer where you regularly take time to praise God. Is that true for your life? Sometimes for many of us, praise is more of an afterthought than it is something that we intend to do on a day-to-day basis. But let me read some scripture for you here. Psalm 119, verse 164, the psalmist said, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Here's a man, most people think it was David. He had said, I'm gonna intentionally take time seven times a day to praise the Lord. Do you have intentional times throughout the day that you take to praise the Lord? Like what the psalmist said in Psalm 64 and verse 1. He said, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. I think that's interesting. You know what? When God thinks about you, your life, is that a place where he can know praise is waiting for him? The fact of the matter is, for many of us, we don't make praise a regular part of our life. And it shows with our attitudes. People who are happy are not people who are thankful necessarily. You know what? People who are thankful, happy people. And you think that being thankful will be contingent on you being happy, but that's not true. If you learn to be thankful, you'll find there's a lot of happiness in just realizing all that God's blessed you with. Well, God wants us to have a place designated every day where we take time to praise the Lord. So we see the setting of praise. The second truth I want you to see this morning is this. Notice the security of praise. The security of praise. You see, there is a security that comes from spending time with God and experiencing God coming through for you time after time after time. And I want you to see how this rings true in Daniel's life. Look at verse 17 again. The Bible says, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. We see here Daniel, he had a place where he prayed. We already talked about that. He also had some people that he prayed with. And let me just, this isn't really the main point, but let me just stop here and say, Well, there is such a comfort that comes in learning to pray together with other people. Learning how to sit down with someone else and tell them, this is what's going on in my life, and I just need to pray with somebody about it. I need some encouragement in the Lord. And boy, Daniel didn't try to bear the burden alone. He brought it to God, and he brought it to God with some men that he trusted. And that is such an important thing. And the Bible says, as they came to the Lord together, they asked for God to give them something. What did they ask for God to give them? Well, it says in verse 18 that they desired or asked for mercies from God. Now, the word mercy here is an Aramaic word that literally speaks of loving kindness, compassion, or pity. So in other words, we could say that what they were asking God for is for God to pity them. They had not asked for the circumstance that they had been put into. They had not asked for the king of the nation that they were captives in to threaten to kill them if they didn't interpret his dream. None of these things were circumstances that they had asked for. And so they asked for God to show them pity. And what they were after was not merely self-preservation, but what they were after was Savior glorification. In other words, they came to God and they said, God, we want you to save us so that all these people will know that while all the false gods couldn't do it, the one true Jehovah God could tell what the dream meant. They asked for God to show himself strong on their behalf, not just so they'd be saved, but so that God would be glorified. And boy, they were not disappointed. As they sought the Lord and they trusted in God's provision and they trusted in God's promises, they were not disappointed because their God came through for them. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says in verse number 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Boy, their prayer was quickly turned into praise, wasn't it? They sought the Lord and they asked God to come through for them. Very soon, God did exactly what they asked. And the prayer that they'd offered to God turned into a resounding praise that was offered up to God. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Hey, God still answers prayer today. God's still in the business of answering the prayers of his people. You can trust him. Friend, there's a security that comes when you seek God in prayer. And boy, I've gotten to the place, the longer I've walked with the Lord and the more I have seen God come through for me and answer prayers, some prayers that I never thought could be answered, God's answered them. And as I've seen God do this in my life, time after time after time, I've gotten to a place now when I start asking God for something, I'll just say, God, I praise you in advance because I know you're going to come through. And God is good for coming through. God answers prayer, and you can be sure of that still today. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Listen, you put your trust in God and your circumstance, you won't be ashamed that you did. You put your trust in a solid rock. There's no better foundation for you to put your faith in. You can be sure he's always going to come through for you. Now listen, he won't always come through the way you think he will. He won't always answer your prayer with yes. Sometimes it's not yet. Sometimes it's no. But even in those circumstances, I've looked back on over the course of even my short life and seen the times where God said no. You fast forward to the present, I'm thankful God said no. God had something better in store. I just couldn't see it. Friend, you can trust in the security of God's promises as you come to God in prayer. And every time God answers your prayer, boy, it will fill your heart with praise. The Bible says in Psalm 50 and verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. It says in Isaiah 65 and verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. How many of you believe God knows everything? You believe that the thing that you're asking God about, God already knows the answer to? And trust him with it. Take care of it. And give it to him. And boy, there's a security that comes in trusting God and learning to praise God even before the answer comes. And boy, the longer you walk with God, the more you will learn to not just pray your way to victory, but praise your way to victory. Because you have a God who will come through for you. Number one, we see the setting of praise. Number two, we see the security of praise. Number three, I want you to see the substance of praise. The substance of praise. Now, the Bible tells us as the story continues that as soon as God answered Daniel's prayer, what happened? Well, look at verse 19. The Bible says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And then read the last part of verse 19 out loud with me. Let's read it together. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He blessed God. And we say that often, even in modern day Christian vernacular. We'll say, well, bless God. What does it mean to bless God? A couple years ago, this really troubled me, and I started to really look into it and wondered, what does it mean to bless the Lord? Well, we know what it is like to be blessed by the Lord, right? And when we talk about, well, God just really blessed me, we're talking about how God helped us, or God strengthened us, or God did something for us that we couldn't have done for ourselves. And so when God blesses us, we understand it as Him benefiting us in some way. How can I benefit God? Can I do anything to help God? Can I do anything to strengthen God? Can I do anything to give God something He doesn't already have? The obvious answer is no. Blessing God must be different than what it means when God blesses me. The Bible says in James 1 verse 17 that it is God from whom every good gift and perfect gift comes from. He's the one that gives us every blessing that we have in our life. And so if God is the source of blessing, I cannot possibly give God anything that He hasn't already given me. Blessing God has nothing to do with me giving God something that He does not already have. But here's the key. Listen to me on this. The only way you can bless the Lord is by recognizing His blessedness. That's how you bless the Lord. In other words, we bless God by telling Him, God, You are the blessed one, and every blessing I have been given has come from You. That's how a person blesses the Lord. Blessing the Lord is essentially thanksgiving. Listen to me. God blesses us with grace, and in response, we bless the Lord with gratitude. And I'd go so far as to say it is only as God blesses us that we are able to understand how to bless the Lord. Daniel said, blessed be God of heaven. As soon as God answered his prayer, first thing that came from his lips was this blessing to God. And as Daniel blesses the God of heaven, he takes time, as I've just described, to ascribe great gratitude to God for all the source of blessings that he had in his life. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Boy, Daniel just began to ascribe greatness to God. Everything that someone may have looked at Daniel's life and said, boy, he's a really wise man. Boy, he really understands how to interpret dreams. Everything that he could have taken credit for, he didn't. He reflected praise to God. He said, God, wisdom and power and strength, it comes from You. The ability to understand dark secrets, it's all coming from You. You're the one who put me right in the middle of the kingdom of Babylon, and You're the one that put Nebuchadnezzar in authority, and You're the one that sent him a dream, and You're the one that gave me the opportunity and the ability to be able to interpret that dream. And God, You're the one who answered my prayer and helped me understand it. And God, I just want to give You praise because You have done something wonderful in my life. The praise he begins to ascribe to the Lord here. And let me just say, the substance of our praise ought to be filled with words describing just how great our God is. Very shallow, our praise, more times than not. How do you know that? Many of us pray the same prayers over and over again. Thoughtless prayers. We say it so much, we don't even think about what it means. Praise is empty. We are not conscious the greatness of our God. When you see God come through for you like this, you won't need to research the attributes of God to come up with a reason to praise God. God's at work in your life. When He's presently answering prayers and doing things in your life, friend, your heart will naturally be filled with praise. You've seen what God's doing. I read a book by Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God. And it's actually a fantastic book. He talks about as we walk with God throughout our lives, that we begin to experience God in different ways. And boy, as you go through the difficult circumstance that you're going through today, I dare say if you turn it over to the Lord, that God would reveal Himself to you in a way that you've never understood Him before. Begin to understand that He's your provider in the midst of your situation where you don't know where you're going to pay the bill. You're going to learn that He is your sustainer in the situation that you're going through where your heart is hurting and grieving with the loss of a loved one. You'll understand that He's your comforter. And boy, you'll learn to praise God in particular ways the more that you walk through life and see God come through for you time after time after time after time. So we see this substance of praise. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Wonder, when's the last time you really praised the Lord? I mean, really. I'm not talking about coming to church and, yeah, I sang the words. Sang the words here and maybe here, but not here. When's the last time you bowed your head in prayer? Not church. Not for any particular reason. Just because heart was overwhelmed. How good God's been to you. Last time you bragged on God. Not so everybody else could hear how much you know about God. It's you and God. It took a minute to say, God, awesome. You have blessed us this year. You provided for us. You have saved me. You have declared me righteous before God. You have blessed me with the family that I have, and so on and so forth. When's the last time you really just took a minute to praise the Lord? That's what Daniel's doing here. And boy, he sets for us what should be a pattern of praise in our lives as well. Can I tell you? You may think you know a lot about God, but the fact is, we will never run out of reasons. Ever. Eternity. We'll never begin to scratch the surface of all the reasons that exist for us to praise the Lord. What Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, it says that in the ages to come, He, Jesus, or God, might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, throughout all of eternity, God's going to continue to reveal to us all the incredible things that He has blessed us with through the finished work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Never be able to wrap our head around it. Never be able to grasp the greatness and the grace of our great God. So we see the substance of praise, which leads me to the fourth truth that we see in this text, and that is the subject of praise. The subject of praise. You see, Daniel didn't just praise God for what he's done. He praised God for who He is. How do you note that? I find an interesting exchange. After in verses 20 through 22, Daniel's speaking of God in the third person. When you go to verse number 23, he switches gears and he begins to speak to God in the second person. In other words, he starts talking about God first and then he starts talking to God. Look at verse number 23 with me. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "I thank thee." Not saying he's not talking about God now, he's talking to God. You see that? He said, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." The focus of his praise at this point becomes singular. Is dead locked in, talking directly to God and ascribing his praise unto God. And I think it's interesting how much of a contrast there is between how Daniel prayed here and how we saw in the book of Luke the Pharisee pray. Jesus talked about this Pharisee. Let me read to you this. This is in your notes. Luke chapter 18. Here's how the Pharisee prayed. The Bible says, "And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." I think that's interesting. He's praying to himself. He said, "God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." The common denominator in the Pharisee's prayer was, I, me, me, look what I've done. Who's he ascribing greatness to? Himself. You say, "Well, I would never pray like that." Just hold on a minute. How different that type of praying is from the type of prayer Daniel, we just heard Daniel pray. Daniel prayed in verse 23, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might." You gave me wisdom and might. "And has made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." Daniel didn't start praying and saying, "God, I'm so glad that you created me. I'm such a wise person and gave me all of these abilities to be able to do what nobody else can do." That's how the Pharisee would have prayed. That's not how Daniel prayed. Daniel said, "God, you're amazing. You give abilities that nobody else can give, and And you've thought in your grace it's sufficient to show pity on a person like me, to allow me to do what nobody else can do. And God, you get all the credit for it. You get all the glory for it. See the singular focus of his praise? The subject of his praise was not himself. The subject of his praise was the Savior, was God himself. He prayed God-centered prayers, not self-centered prayers. Listen to me. Too often, the focus of our praying is all about ourselves, not about God. You think it should be just the opposite, and you think that it wouldn't be the case. Friend, it's true of our prayer lives more often than we like to admit. How often have I come to God in prayer? Just jumped right into, God, I need this. God, I need that. God, would you just give me this? Me, I. God, will you help me live the Christian life? Oh, can't do it. Go on and on about this. How often our prayers are self-centered. God, help me to be a witness, and God, help me to the mom that you called me to be today, the dad you called me to be today, and God, help me, and God, help I, and all about us, instead of our focus being on the Lord. When was the last time you prayed and didn't ask God for anything? When was the last time you came to God in prayer just to praise him? Did it ever happen for you? When was the last time you gave God credit for the things that you've been able to accomplish in your life? You know it didn't come because of you, right? If we'd be honest with ourselves, we struggle more with this matter of praise than what we'd like to admit. We can be very selfish and conceited in our prayers. And all the while, only one person deserves all the glory. That is God. How far short we often fall of giving him the credit, the glory that he is due. The Bible says in Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And boy, may that be our heartbeat today. God, I don't need credit. I don't need recognition. Boy, I want to make sure people know what you've done. I want you to get the credit, God. That's the heart of praise. We learn some things about developing a pattern of praise in our life. We see the setting of praise, and we've seen the subject of praise, the substance of praise, and the security of praise. But the final thing I want you to notice this morning is the superiority of praise. Superiority, or the priority of praise. Praise should not be an afterthought in your life. Praise should be a forethought. In other words, just as soon as something good happens in your life, your immediate response should be to give God the credit. Should just be a habit in our life to praise the Lord. And this was certainly the case with Daniel. Look again at verse number 19. The Bible says in verse 19, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision." And again we read, "Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." Boy, here's what didn't happen. Daniel didn't get the answer from God and then run off and say, "Hey king, I got your answer. I figured it out." He got the answer from God, and Daniel's first response when he got an answer from God was to bow down on his knees and say, "God, thank you. You've done something I could never do on my own, and I want to give you all the credit." See, his first response, praise wasn't an afterthought to him. He didn't just get the answer and run off and tell the answer to the king and then say, "Oh, God, thanks for doing that for me." That's not what he did. Immediately, when God answers his prayers, he has a consciousness to think, "God, praise your name." Went to God, we could develop that kind of habit in our life. That was his first response, and we know later that Daniel also gave credit to God in the face of Nebuchadnezzar. Look down later in the chapter in verses 27 and 28, and let's remember what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. "Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days.'" Boy, he's careful. Make sure that God first gets all the glory for what had been taking place there. And boy, how prone we are to ask God for help. Ask God for healing. Ask God for provision. And how negligent we are when he does answer us. Give him credit. Give him thanks. I often wonder, and I wonder this as I was studying this morning. Often I've asked God for something. Never even conscious but the fact that God answered my prayers. Truth is, God does more for every one of us every day than what we could ever be able to understand to thank him for. Breath you just breathed. Next beat of your heart, have enough capacity to praise God for every good thing that He blesses us with in life. Better to, that's why we say He's better to any of us than we deserve. When you do ask Him for something, and He does answer, negligent we often are to be mindful of our need to give God praise. Reminds me of the story that I'm sure Brother Reese will be in tonight about the 10 lepers. Jesus healed these 10 lepers and sent them off to follow what the law commanded them to do, to show themselves to the priest as the law instructed them to. But one of them, as they went on their way, all of them were healed. And one of them, when he recognized he was healed, he turned around and went back to Jesus, and he gave glory to Jesus for healing him. Jesus looked at the one man of the 10. The question he asked was convicting. He said, "Where are the other 9? Then he said this. He said, "There are not found that returned to give glory to God." Not found. I wonder if the Lord Jesus had to look on this congregation today and have to say, "They're not found that have returned to give me glory." May it not be so. This week of Thanksgiving, we as a church determine, I want to get back into the habit, the pattern of giving praise to God. The first ministry I was privileged to work in, the pastor of that church taught me something, and he didn't teach it to me by physically talking to me about it. He taught it to me by me watching his example. But he was a man who had developed a habit of praising God for everything. And I learned so much from that and tried to emulate that in my own life as well. Boy, we'd be playing basketball. He'd make a basket. But his son would say, "Oh, good shot, Dad. And he'd say, "Well, praise the Lord." To be fair, he'd also get the ball stolen from him and he'd say, "Oh, praise the Lord." He just made a habit of it. You come up to him after a service. He'd say, "Oh, that was a good sermon, Pastor." He'd say, "Oh, praise God. His word." Everything. Every little thing in his life, he'd say, "You know what? That's good. Praise the Lord. God gets the credit." Learn something from that. Something I've striven to do in my own life. Anything good that comes from my life, it didn't come from me, it comes from God. I want prayer to be an afterthought in my life. I want prayer to be the forethought. I want prayer to be the very breath that I breathe. God be praised for every good thing that comes forth out of my life. God be praised for every bad thing that comes forth out of my life. Things that I don't understand, God's working in the midst of those things for my good and His glory. I can praise God for everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. May the desire of our heart this Thanksgiving be, we get back to having a pattern of praise in our lives. Daniel made a continual habit of praising the Lord. So my question for you again is the same as I asked you at the beginning. Is there a pattern of praise in your life? Truth is, for some of you, it used to be the case in your life because of circumstances that have been going on in your life, you've gotten away from having this habit of giving praise to the Lord. The good news is, start getting back on track today. Week of Thanksgiving, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing as we, as God's people, we go into our family gatherings, our friend gatherings, we go back into our workplaces this week, we just start praising the Lord for everything. Praising the Lord for everything. What a difference it would make in your home. What a difference it would make in your workplace. What a difference it would make in this church if we decided, hey, we're coming together to praise the Lord together. To look at each other and say, "Well, I don't like how that person's dressed. Well, that person can't carry a tuna in a bucket." We get so distracted by peripheral things, don't we? Listen, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. That's why we're here. We're created for His glory, not for our own benefit. And may God help us to get back to understanding the importance of praise in our life. One final verse and we're done. Psalm 92 and verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." And boy, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. May our lips be filled with the praise of our God as we enter into this week. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many of you would say this morning, "Pastor Bruce, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that I'm saved." Would you raise your hand as a testimony? Wonderful. Many hands. Many hands. And those among you that have just raised your hands, let me ask you a personal question. Nobody looking around, just between you and God, I want to pray for you. I know you'd say, "Pastor, I have really gotten away being intentional about this matter of praising the Lord. God's really convicted my heart about that." If that's you, would you lift your hand and just be honest about it? My hand's up. God's very, very much convicted my heart about this week. I'll pray for you about that. And my prayer for you, even as you make that admission, is that you would just not admit, I've gotten away from it, but you would now make a decision in your heart before the Lord. You're going to begin redeveloping a pattern of praise in your life. One more question I'll ask before we invite you forward to pray and talk to the Lord. Would there be anyone here today who'd say, Pastor Bruce, honestly, from my heart, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know that my sins are forgiven, that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm just not sure about that today, and God is speaking to my heart about that. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor Bruce, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray for me about that? Very good. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to invite you to stand together with me. I want to pray, and then after I pray, I'm going to invite you forward to come talk to the Lord about what He's spoken to your heart about. Father, we've come now and preached your word. You have spoken to our hearts, and I'm confident now in the authority of your word and its power in our life that you have compelled us to make decisions. And I pray that you'd give courage to every individual, not to just tune your voice out, but to listen and to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Some need to come forward and in humility kneel themselves on an altar before you and talk to you about what you've spoken to their heart about. Some are not able physically, or they could pray from their seat. But I pray that every person who is here would be willing to listen and respond to the work that you've done in their heart during this invitation. I pray specifically for those who lifted a hand who have gotten out of the habit of praise. I pray that you give them courage to begin redeveloping it even today. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, right now, God's spoken to your heart. Would you be willing?